بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I want to mention two things. One is my Jumu'ah khutbah this week, which has already been sent to you. It was "You are the best of people." Kuntum khaira ummatin. And I mentioned there that the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this, the reason Allah defined our core purpose for us as being the best of people was because He said, "Ukhrijat linnas," that Allah said, "I have selected you and extracted you for the people." So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined our core purpose, and Allah called us the best of people because Allah said you are the most beneficial, or you should be the most beneficial for the people. And the question to of course ask ourselves is, if we disappear from the face of the planet tomorrow morning, who will miss us? Who will cry for us? To whom will it make a difference, where they will regret our passing? And if that is too difficult to imagine, then imagine what happens if you go to a place and your cell phone is not working, your mobile phone is not working, because there is no signal, there is no connection. How do you feel? Now, yesterday I went to the annual award function of the Pioneer Valley Project, PVP. PVP is an organization in Western Massachusetts, in West Springfield, which is comprised of members, and the members are from all religious and civic bodies. So there is a Jewish organization, the Sinai Temple. There is the Islamic Society of Western Mass, ISWM, and I was one of the invitees from ISWM. There are these two. We had one table with Somali Bantu people. It's different from the Somali people, the Somali Bantu people. But all the rest of them, it's a huge hall, all the rest of them were Christian organizations. There were one or two civil society organizations, but almost everyone else was a Christian organization, all different churches. There was the Baptist Church, there was a Unitarian Universalist Church, there were the Episcopalians, and many other churches. Now, three things struck me in that function and struck me very hard. The first thing which struck me was that here was the equivalent of Shafi, Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali, Salafi, which means Ghair Muqallideen, Shia, and I don't even know how many more to name, Barelvi, Deobandi, all such groups sitting together in one room in perfect harmony. What I saw yesterday was the equivalent of that, because all of these churches, their theology is completely different. Anyone who believes that all Christians believe the same, they don't believe the same. There are Christians who believe, who do not even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There are other Christians who believe that Jesus is God Himself. So there is that kind of wide difference in the shades of belief. I remember there was a friend of mine who was a colleague on the board of a company on which I sat, an IT company, and he was also one of the board members. I remember we had a very interesting conversation. He said to me once, he said, we were talking about how U.S. foreign policy favors Israel. And I also, we were talking about the whole issue of lobbying and how much money is spent in lobbying and so on. So he said to me, who stops you, meaning Muslims, from doing that? If you think that U.S. foreign policy is so critically important, and if you feel that the opinion of U.S. lawmakers is so important, then lobby them. Who stops you? He said to me, you Muslims have more money than God. What stops you from doing the same lobbying? And then, of course, after that, the question came to the differences in shades of Christianity, differences in Christian sects. And he said to me that somebody published a book. I'm going to try and find that. I had found it, because this conversation happened many years ago, and I actually found that book, but I'm not sure if I have the link now, but I'll try and find it. Somebody published a book. This person did a research and he published it. The research was, he was counting the number of Christian sects there are. Now, he put a criterion to decide whether something is a different sect. And the criterion he put was that it must have different fundamental beliefs, it must have a different theology, it must have different worship rituals, and it must have a different church, meaning that it must have the church hierarchy should be there, there should be the priest and whatever goes up and down, and it must have those worshippers worshipping in a different way in a different church. So it's quite a strict and quite a significant criterion. He wasn't just talking about somebody who differed on some minor issues. He's talking about major issues. So he did this research, and in his research he found, and guess the number of Christian sects, and this is published research, 33,000. Now, just imagine that, 33,000 different ways of believing in Christianity. The question that I asked myself was, when was the last war that happened, or when was the last fight that happened between Christians? That was Second World War. And that wasn't really on a theological basis. It just happened that Christian countries were fighting each other, but that was a political war. It wasn't a Christian theological war. The last Christian theological war, if I can call it that, was the 100 Years' War between England and France, which actually went on for 114 years. And that was in the 15th century. Now, the point is that here was yesterday, I saw this, the gathering of so many different Christian groups together in perfect harmony, number one. Number two, the thing which struck me was, why were they there? They were there for social work. So here, what I was seeing was something which I have been trying to promote among Muslims, and I've been talking from, you know, literally the day I was born, saying that come together for common issues. It doesn't matter what your theological differences are, put them aside, stop condemning each other, stop pronouncing takfir on each other, stop calling each other kafir. Instead of that, come together in one place for one common good purpose. These people yesterday, they were there for the purpose of social work. Massachusetts, like Washington State and other states in the U.S., like California, for example, is a sanctuary state. It's a welcoming state for refugees and so on. So these groups were there yesterday giving awards to those people who have been serving their community. And guess who the recipients, the major number of recipients of this service and this charity, guess who the major recipients were? Muslim refugees. Iraqis, Somalis, Sudanese and others. Muslim refugees. There was a sprinkling of Mexicans perhaps, but the majority of people benefiting from this charity were Muslim refugees. So if for example, now coming back to my analogy, if all signs of Muslims, if the Muslims disappeared from the face of the earth, who would miss them? I don't know what the answer to that is. But if I ask the same question, I said, if all the Christians disappeared from the face of the earth, who would miss them? Guess who? Muslims. Muslims would miss them because Muslims are benefiting from Christian charity. And I saw that with my own eyes. I mean, I knew this. It wasn't news to me, but I saw that yesterday very graphically. So first thing that hit me was that Here is a bunch of people who have a lot of theological differences, but they have the maturity to be able to sit together like decent, civilized human beings, have conversations, be nice to each other, polite to each other, eat dinner together, and focus on what is common. Second thing which hit me was that they all came together for a common issue, and that common issue was doing good for somebody else. They didn't gather there to collect money for their churches. No, they gathered there to do good for somebody else. On a side note, last Jumu'ah in my masjid in the ISWM, after my khutbah, one of the announcements was that Holyoke College has set aside a prayer room for Muslim students for them to pray. And the prayer room is open from this time to this time so they can pray their Zohar and Asr, because Maghrib they go home. So Zohar and Asr they can pray together. Announcement is being made in the masajid saying that Holyoke College has done this for the Muslim students. Now, third thing which hit me yesterday was that these people who were there, a number of them, a large number of them, were in their 70s, a large number of them were in 80s, and many of them were in their 90s. Because the dates were given, the names and so on in that brochure, their dates of birth were, their ages were mentioned, in their 90s. Several of them who got awards were 90-year-old women. Now think about that. Of course, Allah has given them the genes and their hands and feet still work. But also thanks to the kind of lifestyle in the United States where you have to work for yourself. Believe me, I mean, I always used to think that this was, you know, a bit of a pain in the you know where, because why can't children do something for you? We have servants in India. But believe me, one of the great benefits of living in a society without servants is that you remain active and your health remains good. So here you have a bunch of people in their 90s who are doing all their work and were doing things on their own, which keeps them active, which keeps their joints working, and so on and so forth. And of course, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the genes which give them that strength. So here we have these women and men in their 70s, 80s and 90s, and believe me, the 80s and 90s are more than the 70s, who have gathered, and what are they doing with their lives? They are serving other people. And these are people, they were not billionaires and millionaires in there, but there were certainly people who are well off, because they are putting their money where their mouth is and they are putting their effort where their mouth is. One of the major things they were doing was helping refugees settle down in the United States. So helping them with their paperwork, getting them driving licenses, social security, helping them find jobs, helping them to learn English language. Helping them with whatever they needed, with housing, all kinds of things. Here are these American men and women in their 80s and 90s, in their 70s, Christian men and women. Of course, there are also some Jewish men and women in that, who are helping, and who are they helping? Muslims. Because as I said, who are the refugees? The refugees are all Muslims. So here is a bunch of people who are helping Muslims to settle down, helping Muslims in all ways. Now, these three things, people with diverse religious beliefs can sit together in peace and harmony. People with diverse religious beliefs can get together on one platform to address common issues, which are common to all of them. And people with all of these diverse religious beliefs can actually go and spend their time, money, energy, their effort to help somebody who is not even of their religion. And who is from, Islam today, may Allah protect us, is like the enemy religion. So despite that, they are doing that. So the point I want to, which struck me was, subhanAllah, what is it that prevents us from doing that? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically ordered this for us. Allah said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Allah said, hold the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmly and do not differ. Do not create divisions amongst yourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this order. What prevents us from being able to do this? Seriously, my brothers and sisters, the day will come when we will have to stand before Allah and answer. I want to end with a final hammer on the head for those who can't understand this thing. Yesterday I got this information that the people, the protesters against the CAA and the NRC in Delhi in the Shaheen Bagh, which is a predominantly Muslim area, the women who are sitting there in the sit-in protest in Shaheen Bagh, the majority of whom are Muslim, they got into some difficulties with food because they have a langar, they have a community kitchen where they are cooking, and they were short of funds. Guess what? There is this man called D.S. Bindra, a Sikh man, who sold his house. He sold his apartment in Delhi and gave that money to feed these women who are sitting in the protest in Shaheen Bagh. Subhanallah al-Azim, how will we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment when D.S. Bindra will also be standing there and we will also be standing there? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you were the ones that I said have been created for the benefit of people, and you are always at the receiving end and you do not do what you are supposed to do. I also got simultaneously news about what my fellow Hyderabadi Muslims, wealthy Muslims in Hyderabad were doing at the same time. I am too ashamed to say it here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know the Hyderabadis who listen to this will know exactly what I'm talking about. Please have some shame. Have some shame. Kuch to sharam karo, kuch to Allah se daro, la hawla la quwwata illa billah. Malakul maut, when Malakul maut comes for you, how are you going to face him? Please tell me this. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. This is the issue. Today the Sikhs are probably the top of the world as far as service to humanity is concerned. A tiny, minuscule group of people in numbers, the Sikhs are nothing. And yet, everywhere in the world where there is some disaster, some problem, you have Sikhs standing there and they are helping people. Not for nothing are they called Sardar, because they are being the Sardars of the world. La hawla la quwwata illa billah. Ajeeb. La hawla la quwwata illa billah. May Allah protect us from ourselves. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us some haya and to give us some sharam and to remind us that one day we will stand and face him when we will be asked, how is it that I told you that you are the best of people and you were for the benefit of people, but you only took from people, you gave nothing to anybody, including your religion. You gave nothing to anybody. You just took from people over and over and over again. And the other people, the Christians, the Jews, the Sikhs, they were the people who helped you. Your own kind didn't help you. The others helped you. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. How will we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Brothers and sisters, please get up. And like somebody said in a speech yesterday, they said it's not enough to wake up, because it is possible that you are awake and you are still in bed. We have to get up and out of our beds. We must wake up, we must get out of bed and get to work. It is not sufficient to wake up, we have to actually work. Let us get off our backside and let us do some work. Let us become beneficial for all of humanity, whether they are Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, Christians, whoever. Let us get up and start making waves in becoming beneficial for all of humanity. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.